I greet you in Jesus' name. It is a beautiful thing to be able to meet here in this special way and worship the Lord together. It is such a beautiful thing that we can do collectively, and such an amazing God that we can serve, that we can do it with enthusiasm because our God is worthy of our worship. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to meet together and worship together around our God again this evening. The song, I want to make a comment about the song, "Dear Lord, Take Up the Tangled Strands," also such a beautiful song. And we all know about the tangled strands. And he's the one that can untangle those things. And we come to him to do just that. We looked at the thought on Monday about who touched me. And then last night about, have you come to torment us before the time? This evening, I want to concentrate our thoughts on a biblical foundation. You can open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Although if you know that by memory, you don't have to, okay? $100 million Bibles are printed on average every year. That would be 274,000 printed every day, which would be 11,415 printed every hour, which would be 190 Bibles printed every minute, which would be 3 Bibles every second that are being printed. That's what they assume, what they figure about how many Bibles are printed. And there still aren't enough Bibles. Why? Why? Why this thirst for this book? What is it? Well, there in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is... That's the word that's there. Yep. And is profitable. And as we in our tangled strands muddle through life, we're looking for something that's profitable. And we find it here in this book. Or there's millions of people out there that are looking for the answers in this book to untangle their lives. They find it in this book. All scripture is given by. It comes from Almighty God. And it's profitable for us. And it rings true to our hearts. And we as humanity, mankind, we reach out for it and we say, give me some more. I want that book. I want that life. I want those answers. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why there's 100 million Bibles printed every year, and it's still short. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that the man of God may be complete. We're looking for completeness. We're looking for wholeness in this world. And right here is where we can find wholeness. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. That is why there are 100 million Bibles printed every year, the best seller in the world, year after year after year after year. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We live in a world of chaos and of despair, but there is a foundation, a place of peace and serenity. There is a place of strength and of light and of life, and it is found in God. Or we could say it is found in the foundation of the Bible. You know, Jesus claimed he would give us rest. Those verses there in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We, as a people, we're looking for rest. We're looking for a way to get out from under this labor, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We're looking for some rest. And Jesus is offering it to us. And his offer is good. And he says, "You take my yoke." And my first response might be, "Yoke? I don't want a yoke." But as I reflect on it, I do want a yoke. I do want a yoke. But he says, "You take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We can choose the other yoke that is heavy and hard. Or we can choose the yoke that Christ offers us. And he still gives us guidance and direction in life. But the yoke is easy. I like that word. And the burden is light. And I like that word too. Easy and light. And that is that. What God offers us, easy and light? Or is it hard and heavy? Or are we confused? Who's confused, huh? "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And it's of course true, because that's the word of God. Yes. And so I am blessed. We are blessed because we have this book. We have the book. We have the foundation. We have it. You have it. You have it. We should be leaping for joy because we have the foundation that we need for our lives. We have it. Thank God we have it. And so we want to look this evening at the message in five different parts. First of all, every building needs a foundation. And then we have an enemy. And then where there is no revelation. And then the impact of the Bible. And then a rock to stand on. And so let's look at these different thoughts this evening. Every building needs a foundation. And of course, I'm not really talking about interested in buildings, okay? Even though, but every life needs a foundation. Every building needs a foundation. It does, doesn't it? And you know what happens when you don't have a foundation, and it looks like this building has a pretty good foundation. I don't see cracks going across the ceiling and all that. I would assume the foundation is fairly good. But every life needs a foundation. Every idea, every society, every life has a foundation, good or bad. Just because you have a foundation doesn't mean it's a good foundation. What, We form a theory, hypothesis, and then we test it to see if its foundation is good. And then there are these ideas out there, like atheism. Is that a good foundation? Buddhism, modernism, communism, or the teachings of Muhammad, all of these ideas that are out there that we can build our life upon. And they offer a foundation. But is it a good one or a bad one? Do they have an enduring foundation? And the ones that I mentioned, they don't. They don't have an enduring foundation. Does communism, as it has been practiced in the recent past, have a good foundation? And I'm going to say, no, it doesn't. Because that is why every communistic society crashes. It fails. Because there's something wrong with the foundation. I'm not here to discuss all the ideals and what's all wrong with that or whatever. But there must be something wrong with the foundation, because the communism, as it has been practiced in the recent past, it doesn't work. The society crashes. It does not produce a thriving foundation. The concept of foundation is flawed. And then you have Judeo-Christian values, or you could say biblical values. We could ask, will they produce a strong and a thriving society? Will they? And I'm going to say yes. And how do we know? Because when Israel followed God, they thrived. They prospered. They were strong. They were happy. They thrived. Today we are living out biblical concepts, and as we do that, the results are powerful and convincing. When a society lives out biblical concepts, when a community lives out biblical concepts, the results are powerful and convincing. Now, many in the world, in the society around us, they're throwing away biblical values, and do they have a foundation? No, the results are catastrophic. What is your foundation? Jesus told us there in Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25, "Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he shall be likened. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a good foundation." And there we have it. God, Jesus, tells us. He specifically tells us how to have a good foundation under your life. If you want to have a good foundation under your life, you need to embrace the teachings that I'm giving you. Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's that simple. It's that simple. Yes, we need to read the Word of God, and we need to absorb what it says into our lives, and we need to make that the foundation of our life. And Jesus promises us that we will have a foundation that will withstand the floods of life. And it will. And it will. Is your life theory... Oh, you didn't know you had a life theory? Okay, you do. Is your life theory, your life's foundation, built upon a solid foundation? Have you thought about what would be a good foundation for your life? Have you even thought about it? You should, because it's important. What is the foundation of your life? What are you making? Or have you even thought about, do you need a foundation? You do need a foundation. You have a foundation. But what is it? And with intention, we need to make we need to make this in the foundation of our life to the jot and tittle, right? To the jot and tittle. This needs to be the foundation of our life, and it'll give us a rock to stand upon when the floods of life come. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful foundation for our life. And the only true foundation. Now, we have an enemy. While God, Jesus, has told us what the foundation is, we have an enemy. Okay. And Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Walking about seeking whom he may devour. So we, humanity, we have an adversary. We have an enemy. And Jesus described that enemy in John 10, verse 9 and 10. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's a good foundation. But he says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Did we find the enemy there? The one who is coming, and his intention is to steal away from you and to kill and to destroy you. That is what his intention is. Jesus declared it to us. Yes, our enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Grasp that idea. The one out there, the adversary of our souls, is his intention is to destroy you. Now, he doesn't advertise it that way, right? He doesn't advertise it that way. He doesn't say, come over to me because I want to kill you. I want to take your stuff. I want to destroy you. That's not what he says. No, but that is what he wants to do. That is what his intention is for your life, to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is what his intention is. The devil hates God. The devil hates God's people. He hates God's word. He hates the values God has established for his people, and he wants to destroy those values. Today, I believe there is an organized plan to remove every biblical truth from our society and the world. I think there is. I think there's an organized plan to do it. And it is, of course, orchestrated by the adversary of our souls, the devil. And I am astonished at the totality with which he or they want to remove anything that is connected with biblical truth. I'm just astonished at what they want to remove. I mean, it hasn't even entered my mind. But, you know, like something as basic as a man is a man and a woman is a woman, they want to destroy that. And I say, why? But it is related to biblical truth. That's what God created. That's how God made it. And he wants to change it. And he wants to destroy it. And he wants to destroy everything that has to do with biblical truth. And you can be assured that if he... any deviation from this, you're heading for a wreck. But if you get it all destroyed, you're certainly going to head for a wreck. And that's exactly what he wants. He wants us all to crash. He wants us all to be destroyed. So, yeah. He wants to destroy everything. Every biblical truth. A biblical foundation builds us up and strengthens us. And of course, the devil wants to weaken us. He wants to crush us. He wants to annihilate us. And so, never give an inch to the devil. One inch. One movement toward him is you can never trust him. It is never good. The devil's little lies lead to his bizarre, ridiculous positions. You say, I would never believe something as strange as some of the people out there are saying. But when you start down that road, just start down that road, you might be surprised where you will be. Because the devil will take you there as fast and as far as he can. And it's really surprising that anybody would go there. And so, the devil's little lies lead to his bizarre and ridiculous positions. So always cling to the Bible as your foundation. Now, is the Bible way a plan to restrict you and take away the good things of life from you? No. No. Yes. Just say it out loud. No. But what is your definition of the Bible way? What were you thinking? The Bible way. Oh, the Bible way. I can't do this. And I can't do that. And it just gives me a hard life. Do you even contemplate? Do you even let those thoughts go through your head? If you do, there's something wrong. There's a philosophy coming in that by the wicked one that is not right. Because the Bible way is not taking away from you. Oh, yeah, there it is, a restricted way, but it is not taking away your joy. No, it is not going to take the good things of life away from you. By all means not. The Bible way is going to give you all the good things of life. And more, what does he say? More and more unto the perfect day. It just gets better and better when you get deeper and deeper into the Bible. It does. We dare not look at the Bible as, oh, I'm a Christian and I want to be a Christian, but the Bible way is really restrictive and it's really hard, and I just miss out on a lot of the joys of life. No, that is not the right way to think about the Bible, or the Bible way, or the foundation that he gives us. So, never believe the devil's lies. What happens when we build on a biblical foundation? What happens when we build on the Word of God? Well, in Psalm 1, Psalm 1. The Psalms start out in this beautiful way. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 4. And it is blessed. What a way to start the Psalms. It's a blessed. I want to show you how to be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the adversary, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law shall he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall. Yes. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like that promise. Is it true? It's true. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The individual that meditates upon this word and makes this word the foundation of his life, he'll be like a tree, a strong tree planted by the river that's bringing forth fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want that definition for my life. And it's right here. That's what we need to embrace it. And whatsoever you do is so prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind driveth away. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. That needs to be the way we think about this book, this foundation. The psalmist asks in Psalm 11, verse 3, says that the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And in verse 4, I think he answers that question. Verse 4 says, the Lord is in
his holy temple. He hasn't been removed. He hasn't been shaken out. His temple has not been destroyed. The Lord is in his holy temple. Yes. The God will not be overthrown. The Lord is in his holy temple. The foundation will not be destroyed. His foundation is sure. We want to go on now to where there is no revelation. You know, people get weary of following after God, at least in the Old Testament they did, and I suppose that happens even nowadays. But I want to look at those verses there in Malachi 3, where God charges them that you're weary of me. You're weary? You are weary of me. You're weary of Almighty God, the gracious God, the God that chose mercies day after day after day because of thy mercies were not consumed. That God you're weary of? And it's astonishing to God. But in Malachi 3, verse 13 through 15, God talking to the children of Israel says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? And what profit have we gotten from keeping your laws? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. I can hardly say those words. But here they were saying, We've followed after you, and I can't tell any prophet, and we've been walking mournfully before you, and mournfully before God. There was something terribly wrong if you're walking mournfully before God. There's something terribly wrong before the Lord. There's something terribly wrong in their understanding of who God is. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, those that work wickedness are prospering. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. They're the ones that are let go free. There's no consequences to them. But that's not true. That's not true. But they were looking at God in a wrong way. They had a wrong concept of God. And Jeremiah's response, and this isn't exactly Jeremiah's direct response to Malachi, but Jeremiah's response to such foolishness is, there in Jeremiah 22, verse 29, he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Would you please, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Please, please hear the word that God has for you. You know, we need revelation from God. It's because of revelation from God that we are not in the darkness of our own ignorance. If that feels insulting to you, I'm sorry. But it is because of the revelation of God that we are not in the darkness of our own ignorance. And I wish we could understand that fully. But in Proverbs 29, verse 18, you're familiar with this verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, when we think of vision, we think of having foresight or, you know, looking ahead. But I tend to believe this verse is talking about where there is no vision. Remember how when the Bible talks about a prophet and he had a vision from God? I think that's what he's referring to. And I think if I would say it this way, where there is no revelation from God, the people perish. Where there is no vision, where this has not been imparted to us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And notice what the corresponding thought is. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. See, he that keepeth the revelation, happy is he. Where there is no revelation, the people perish. We need revelation from God so we don't perish. And he's given us revelation. A biblical foundation or biblical revelation from God is the source of fulfillment and happiness. The alternative, evolution, is shockingly dismal, shockingly cruel, shockingly empty. I'm amazed at what as deeper minds than mine have explained to me, and not necessarily Christian, but even those that don't believe in God have explained to me the hope of evolution. And I shouldn't even use the word hope in relation to evolution, because there is no hope there in evolution. Those that are not even part of God's kingdom, that have studied out the concept of evolution, it is such a dismal picture. There is no hope there. That's what they say themselves. You know, we can ask the question, who are we? What is reality? Where did we come from? Where are we going? But evolution says, you happen to be a rather intelligent, evolved accident floating through time with no purpose, no choice, and they aren't even sure if you actually have consciousness, and your destiny is simply an accident of chance. You have no influence on it, and there is nothing actually right or wrong that's happening in the process. Anything is okay. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time thinking about that picture, but that is a very dismal picture. If I am simply a cousin to this block of wood, and just happen to be, for some reason, I turned out this way, and why I'm not a block of wood, you couldn't explain it. How I got here, you couldn't really figure it out, because it just kind of happened, and here I am. I was surprised when expert evolutionists and defenders of evolution tried to explain that we don't really have a choice. We're not really making choices. I was surprised. Like, what do you mean we're not making choices? But here I am blabbering up here, but it's what I've been doing, whether I wanted to or not, because that's the evolutionary genes in me, and it's the process I'm going through, and you just happen to be here too in your evolutionary journey, and we're just here, you know, we're not exactly bumps in the log, but not much above it, and maybe we aren't above it. We don't even know for sure, and we don't know where we come from, and we don't know where we're going, and we don't know how to get there, and we're going to land up somewhere, and we don't know where it is, and it's... And so if I decide to do something because I want to, well, did I use the word decide? You know? But anyway, if I decide to do something because I want to, it's just the way it was supposed to happen. And there's nothing right or wrong about it. It's awful. It is absolutely awful. I'm so glad I'm not part of that system. So yeah, who are we? What is reality? Where do we come from? Where are we going? God's word. Oh, God's word. God's revelation gives us clear, wonderful answers that make sense. Yes, they make sense. You know, we are created. Are we created? You look around the world about us and you say, yes, we're created. We are created. We are in God's image. We are eternal. We are fallen. Are we fallen? Yes, we're fallen. That makes sense. The salvation has been offered to us, the way of forgiveness. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. God, who created us, who loves us, who is all wise, is able to make a way of salvation for his fallen people, and he has. And it's a beautiful thing that our Creator and our King is also our Savior. That is so lofty, that is so grand, that is so wonderful, and it can bring so much joy into my being that nothing else could. Certainly not if I'm just a lump on a log somewhere, or some active lump somehow. No, the love of God and the experience of Godhood and those things are just tremendous. And they're powerful and they're wonderful. And you have Christian obedience where you can decide. Oh, I'm so glad I can make decisions. I am so glad I can. I am so glad I can choose to love. And that is such a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad I can experience individuals who choose to love me. I'm so glad for that. That's a wonderful thing. And I can't just look at somebody that would say something about love and realize they're just, you know, saying it because their genes made them say it, and it's just a noise coming out of their mouth or something, you know. I'm so glad I don't have to believe that kind of stuff. And I'm so glad I can know that God made me and that I have a purpose in life. It's just so wonderful. Yes, the revelation from God, and it all fits perfectly well with the world that is around us. It's true. Revelation from God, the biblical foundation. That is why there are 100 million Bibles printed on average every year. And it answers the questions in my heart. It answers those questions. What was Joshua told in Joshua 1 verse 8? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I like that word prosperous. You might gather that. And I like that word good success. I like that too. And what did that verse in the Bible just tell me? It told me how to be prosperous and how to have good success. Do you want that too? Probably. So I'm going to stick by it. I'm going to follow that way. It is a way to be prosperous and to have good success. Yes, where there is no revelation, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, he that keepeth the revelation, happy is he. I want to look at the impact of the Bible. The impact of a biblical foundation on society is huge. It's huge on society. It's exceedingly good. The impact of, and we're going to look at it in three different ways, in three different small aspects. We could look at it in a lot more. I say we, but we could look at it in a lot more aspects of it. We're going to look at just three small aspects. We're going to look at the impact of the Bible being monotheism or a belief in one God. We're going to look at the impact of the Bible in society and equality and sanctity of human life. And we're going to look at the impact of the Bible in relation to monogamy, one man and one woman for life. We're going to look into those three different areas. And these aspects are an impact of the Bible, not only on our personal lives, but on the society and the world, the entire world around us. Monotheism would be opposed to many gods. What if there were actually many gods? We know there aren't. What if there were actually many gods? And we know that when we read in the Bible, they did back in the past. They believed in many different gods. Well, what kind of impact does that have on a person's life? Let me ask you this. What is truth when there are many gods? Each god, each civilization would have its own truth if there's many gods. The Bible introduced one God for all men. Because of the foundation of the Bible, we have monotheism. And I'm not saying everybody in the world believes in monotheism, but it has influenced the world in a huge way. And we have monotheism, which produces absolute truth because there's one God that declares what is right and wrong. And it is for everyone the whole way over the world. It doesn't vary when you go to a different country what truth is. They might have different laws, but truth is right here, and it's universal across the world. And now we have absolute truth, and now we have rule of law. What a huge blessing. Oh, you weren't so sure rule of law was a blessing? Well, yeah. You know, It is. It's a huge blessing. Maybe you think we have too many laws. Maybe we do. We're not going to argue about that. But rule of law is a tremendous blessing. I just have to, my son spent a couple years in Liberia, and when he got back, and there wasn't a lot of rule of law there, and when he got back, he was excited about traffic lights that worked, and he was excited about stop signs, and he was excited about speed limits, and he was excited about all kinds of things that he had never thought before were important. But he's like, they are wonderful things. And that isn't getting into very deep things of law, is it? No, that's not getting into very deep things of law. But yeah, rule of law is a tremendous blessing that comes when there is one God that gives us what the rules are. And of course, he doesn't give us all the traffic laws, but he gives us rule of law where we can create laws that endure. So here's a blessing. Okay, another one of the blessings of the impact the Bible has upon us is equality and sanctity of individual human life. God creating every human life gives the basis for equality and respect for every human life. That is wonderful. And we take it for granted in a large way. The impact of this Bible teaching has had a profound effect upon the world. Because of this influence, we now view slavery as an evil thing because we believe men were created equal. And that's not to say slavery is gone, but still we view slavery as an evil thing because we have this concept, this teaching that we need to have respect for human life. And that's true. And that comes from this Bible here. That comes from that God created everyone, and it has a tremendously good influence on the world. Modern atheists charge that the world would be better off if the world would just be rid of this Christianity, this old thing that, they made up to. But that is so false. That is so false. Christianity is highly responsible, is largely responsible for many of the principles that even secular people cherish, and including equality and liberty. They take those things for granted, but it's because of the influence of this Bible on their lives, whether they realize it or not, that they are experiencing these things. In ancient Greece and in Rome, individual human life had no particular value. The Spartans would have left weak children to die on the hillside. The killing of infants was common, as it is common even today in many parts of the world. Fathers who wanted sons had few qualms about, just drowning their newborn daughters. But God tells us every human life is special. They're made in our image. And it's a beautiful thing that we can experience the blessedness of that. One of the greatest German atheistic philosophers concluded that the idea that he wanted to find out, what was behind the society. He concluded that the ideas that define Western civilization. One of the greatest German atheistic philosophers concluded that the ideas that define Western civilization are based on the Enlightenment. But no, that wasn't true. He studied the civilizations, and because some of these ideas have a life of their own, we might have the illusion that we can just abandon Christianity and while retaining these ideas. But he warned us, no, these foundational ideas that we appreciate are based on the influence of Christianity on our society. And that if we remove Christianity, he said, we are also going to lose these values that we hold dear, even secular people hold dear. He said, if you abandon Christianity, you're going to lose those things. And he is true. It is true. So yes, the Bible has had a huge influence for good upon the entire world. It's the foundation I want to build my life upon. It is the foundation I want to have for society, for the society I am living in. Depart from biblical truths and you will depart into chaos and into confusion. You will. Okay, the third aspect we're going to talk about is monogamy. One man, one woman for life. In 1934, an Oxford study by Unwin, he said, after studying 86 human civilizations, he concluded that the principal factor in all-around cultural well-being is absolute monogamy. One man and one woman for life. That is what he concluded was the all-around cultural principal factor for well-being in society. Absolute monogamy. One man, one woman for life. That made society work well. Whose idea was that? It was God's, wasn't it? Why did God tell us that? Because he knew. He knew that was the foundation for a stable and prosperous society. This view, of course, today, it would be viewed as narrow and a restrictive moral code. And just to have sexual relationships limited to one man and one woman for life. But that's what God says. And as he studied it out, he didn't study it out to come to that conclusion, but he came to that conclusion that is the all-around cultural factor that makes for a well-being for society. Amazing, because that's what God said so many years ago. I mean, way back in the beginning. So we desperately need a biblical foundation for all-around cultural well-being. It will certainly produce that. they are not restrictions upon us. They are pathways of joy and blessing. So yeah, we need to let the Bible fully impart and guide our life, our personal lives. Is divorce a good thing? You say, no, it isn't. You can just look and you can see. Is promiscuity a good thing? No, it isn't. You can see. It's looking to society. Is adultery a good thing? No. These things always produce so much sorrow. Yeah, they always do. So please, please, please let me live according to the Bible. Let me. Please let me. A rock to stand on. Just briefly here, in Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. It's true. He has laid a sure foundation for us, and he that believeth will not be ashamed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is a foundation stone that is not going to be rolled away, moved away anytime soon. In fact, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It is a sure foundation. So, I want to live a holy life with the Bible for my foundation. I want to do that. I have experienced it. I've experienced it by my parents. I've experienced it in our churches. Biblical foundations laid down layer after layer. In my childhood, in my youth, in so many intricate and thorough ways, they've been weaving into my life a biblical foundation. Oh, yeah. but they have. These that I didn't even understand. But these huge biblical foundation stones of honesty and respect and monogamy and diligence and kindness and forgiveness and discipline and self-denial and brotherhood and all these beautiful foundation stones that are found here in the Bible, that there's so much that I've been able to experience and we can experience as we look into the Word of God. Don't let it go for anything. It is priceless. It is a priceless, valuable armor for this life and also for the world to come. Let's continue to stand. It's a wonderful thing. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, yeah, every building needs a foundation. We have an enemy that's out to destroy us. Where there is no revelation, yeah, the people perish. But there has been a tremendous impact that the Bible has had on our lives and shall have in our lives as we read it, and it gives us a rock to stand on. What is that you have in your hand? Oh, it's the Bible. This sermon, while I preached this sermon, there were 8,550 Bibles printed. Thank God. People hungry for a foundation for their lives. There is a huge thirst for the answers in this book. May we also be among those who drink of its life-giving words and find hope in the foundation that it gives. More to be desired are they than gold. These promises are just outrageous. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is a servant warned. And in keeping of them there is, what did you say?
Great reward.
Great reward. In keeping of this book, there's great reward. Is that what you told me? I like that idea. That's tremendous. Is it true? In keeping of them, there is great reward. Oh, it's just so wonderful what God has done for us. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful foundation. Peter said, we followed you and what we're going to get. Said to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's that shall not receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. That's quite a promise. And he didn't stop there. And he said, and in the world to come. It doesn't stop here. It keeps on going. And in the world to come, we get eternal life. Oh, give me this foundation. Yes, our foundation stone, Jesus, is going to come back. And he's going to conquer the world. And he's going to reign from Jerusalem in peace and in power and in prosperity and in goodness. And all those who humbly follow a biblical foundation today will reign with him in triumph in a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Count me in. Are you in? I want to ask you that question. I want to give you an invitation tonight. Are you in? I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want the Bible, every thread, every part of it, to be a foundation for my life. Open my eyes, Lord, and show me that light. Show me that truth, and let me absorb and become the individual you would like to create in me, that I might be made into the very image of your Son. Lord, continue to work that in my life. How to enter that kingdom? I would like you in that kingdom as well. Peter said here in Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And so he says, you repent of your rebellion against me, of your sin against me. Allow me to change you, and I'll blot out your sins, and you can be a part of my kingdom. Thank you, God. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to become a part of that kingdom, we invite you to do that by standing to your feet or raising your hand. And what song shall we sing? 728. 728.